Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15, the Bible says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, we're not going to rehash what we've already spoken about these beasts already, but we do want to center our comments on this fourth beast that Daniel asked specifically about, and the horns that come out of him, out of his kingdom, out of that kingdom. And the Bible says that this beast is so very powerful. Look back at verse 7, this fourth beast. The Bible said in verse 7, after this I saw in the night, vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and look at that phrase, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. This is a powerful beast. You know, and this is, of course, a culmination of the kingdoms that the devil is going to bring ultimately in with the Antichrist. And I just want to say that, you know, the devil's very powerful. He is strong exceedingly. And the Bible says that this beast, this kingdom, through the work of the devil, is just going to stamp. That's the word he used there in verse number 7. Stamp the residue with the feet. He's just going to trample down in pieces the people. He said the same thing in verse 19, if you remember, look it up in the verse. And stamp the residue with his feet. In chapter 8, turn over just one chapter, another description of the Antichrist in verse 9. In verse 9, the Bible says, in Daniel 8, 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. He's still talking about that horn in the previous chapter. Also was mentioned in chapter 2, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. Watch it. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars. Now, usually that's a reference to angels. And stamped upon them the power of this Antichrist, the power of this devil. We even talked about before in the Daniel chapter 2 And he's mentioning this in Daniel chapter 7 and that chapter 8 about this horn that comes up out of this kingdom. And that there are 10 horns, but he is going to be the preeminent one. And we talked about when we were in Daniel chapter 2 about those 10 kings that shall arise. There's going to be 10 great kings that are going to advance the Antichrist kingdom in this world. And we even mentioned that when we were in Daniel chapter 2, about how they're mixed with iron and clay, and how Revelation chapter 17 goes into that. And we even talked about the fact they're the devil's supermen. And how in our society people are so awestruck by anybody that has any kind of power. I tell you what, the devil's men, when the Antichrist lands here, and when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom, are going to put the Marvel characters to shame. Yeah. These 10 kings are going to so infatuate the whole earth that every kingdom and every tongue and every people are going to pay homage to this beast that the devil... I just say that to let you know the devil's strong. Now look, we know the devil's going to show that strength. And God, you say, well, why isn't the devil just run rampant now? You look around you, he's run rampant in a lot of people's lives. You look at society and you look at the nations, he's pretty much run rampant. But you know what? It'd be a whole lot worse if God Almighty didn't keep it back at bay. You know why God's keeping it back at bay? Because you and I are still here. Thank God that he cares enough about his church, that he holds back the power of the devil, that he can't totally run roughshod over this world because his own are still in the world. Salt is still in the world and light is still in the world. His people are still in the world. We're going to have to be delivered before that wrath is going to be poured out in that tribulation that Antichrist shows himself. So I'm glad for the premillennial doctrine. I tell you what, I don't understand these people that want to go through the tribulation period. Now, you can go through it if you want to. I'm not going through it. I'm headed out. The tribulation that we experience just through life is enough. Thank God he keeps it at bay. And yet when the Antichrist gets here, it's the power of the devil is just going to be made manifest in such a way that the world has never seen. Now, besides stamping things, the Bible says something else here. Would you look in verse number 21? We've already talked about that horn speaking great things. That's the Antichrist, chapter Revelation 13. But some practical things are in here. Daniel 7, 21, look at it. I beheld... And the same horn, look at it, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. You see that? This horn, this Antichrist, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Now, let me say this about the word saints in the Bible. The word saints in the Bible is not always a reference to the church. Obviously, we're in the Old Testament here. There are Old Testament saints. There are New Testament saints. And there will be tribulation saints. Now, it is true that these words are spoken of in the very context of them. Doctrine is going to be how, and you read it in the book of Revelation, how the Antichrist is just going to have his way with those tribulation saints. Most of them are going to die. They're going to die. But you know, most of the world's going to die anyway. But most of the saints of God in the tribulation period, which won't be me, I'll be gone. But those saints there, a lot of those Jewish saints are going to die. I mean, the devil's going to be hot on their trail. They're going to have to run. Most of them are going to die. And the Bible says that he makes war with the saints and prevailed against them. So what I see here, though this is doctrine and application to those that will be living in the tribulation period, do you think that the devil is any less at war with the saints of God today? He's at war with you. What's a saint? I never forget, in Romania as missionary, you know, we taught the people about what saints were, because they thought, as Orthodox churches, they thought saints were those that were sainted by the church, you know. And I walked in one day, I said, We're going to put the pictures of the saints all around the building next week. And they just looked at me. And so I said, we're going to take all your pictures and put them on the wall. Because if you're born again, you're a saint. Amen. Bible says if you called on the Lord, you're a saint. But because you're a saint, the devil hates you. You know why the devil hates you? The devil doesn't just hate you because of you. He hates you because who you belong to. He hates you because who loves you. He makes war. And I have to say this. I wish I didn't have to say this. But I think that Satan has prevailed over a lot of God's saints. Not as far as their soul, not as far as eternity goes, not as far as their salvation, but there are a lot of God's people that have been stamped to pieces by this one that's made war with them. Why any Christian would want to get along with the devil? You know, what's the answer for somebody that makes war with you? You know, the great thing about our history, you know, America tried to stay out of World War II so bad, didn't we? I mean, we didn't want to be in World War II. And then those Japanese dropped the bombs. And when the war comes to your back door, you know what America did when they dropped those bombs? America just declared war on everybody. They didn't just, that's right, they didn't just declare war on Japan. No, they declared war on Germany, and they declared war. We're just going to declare war on every. If you're with them, we're against you. You know, that's the way you deal with a war. You don't make peace with people that are fighting with you. They're going to go to war with you. You've got to win the war. The only way for it to be peace is if somebody loses. You know what the Bible tells us as God's people? We're to fight the good fight of faith. That's what it says. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. We need to be fighters. I'm telling you, there's something about this generation that makes people soft. The snowflake generation, the marshmallow, that the idea that Christianity is just some cowering thing. No, the devil has declared war against the saints. If you're going to survive, you got to fight. You don't fight with guns, and you don't fight with knives, and you don't fight with a bad attitude. You fight on your knees. You fight with the Word of God, and you fight with the gospel. You fight with that whole armor of God. Oh, church, who would have thought about this time last year when we were going through that whole armor of God that we would need it for some fights? We're in a fight. We're in a battle, you see. You've got to have that determination to fight the good fight of faith. And what does that book say? It says, resist the devil. You run from the devil, he'll stamp you to powder. You don't run from the devil. Now, you flee fornication, but you don't run from the devil. There are sins that you run from, but when it comes to the attack of the devil, you stand right, you look right up, you say, no, you resist the devil. And I'm afraid that the resistance in some of God's people in the war is not as strong as it needs to be. I believe this Bible. I'll die at my last breath believing this Bible. And I know how big the devil is. I know how powerful the devil is. I know he's at war with the church and at war with your family. But I believe this Bible. If I resist him, he'll run away. I have got to believe that. You have got to believe it because it's true. He made war with the saints and he prevailed against them. I see something else here. Would you drop down to verse 25? Daniel 7, 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now watch this. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Do you see that? He not only makes war with the saints, he wears them out. You ever been worn out? Now, usually when I think of getting worn out, you know what wears me out? I'll tell you what wears me out. Usually when we talk about being worn out, that means our last nerve is finished. It's driving behind stupid people. That wears me out. I mean, by the time I get to where I'm going, it's a good thing we can't lose our salvation. I lost all of it. But I'm so carnal. I'm just wore out. I mean, why those people in the left lane don't understand you can't drive slow there? I don't know. I don't know. It just wears me out. What wears you out? Now look, you know what the devil does? The devil tries to just wear you out. Now what's the answer for being wore out in that context? patience. You know, you can't wear out somebody that's got patience. They just sit there. You know, you're getting a long line at a fast food. What is that about? And the guy that doesn't get wore out is the guy who's just, he didn't have anywhere to go. Okay, there's 20 in front of me. You know what the devil will do with us? He will wear us out, and usually he succeeds because we don't have the patience that we need to have. The Bible tells us over there in Hebrews chapter 12, you should know the verses. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Listen, church, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen, church, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Listen, lest ye be wearied. There's that wear out. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, you need some endurance. You're not going to endure anything if you don't have patience to get through it. Preacher, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and the situation still hadn't changed, and this is just wearing me out. What do I need? You have need of patience. What the devil can't do to stomp you out, if the devil wears you out, you'll leave on your own. Because you'll just say, I'm fed up with this. I'm fed up with toeing the line and things not changing in my family or my marriage. You know, a lot of our prayers, we pray and we pray, but we're like that. We're like I am behind that car. Would you please move? I got somewhere to go. Get out of the way. And we're praying, God, 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 please. And we don't see anything happen, and we feel like we're standing still. You know what we need? We need to run the race with patience. Instead of just saying, well, forget this, I'm just going to get off the road. I'm going to quit driving. I'm going to quit going this way. He shall wear out the saints. You know, Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. You know, a lot of times people just don't have the patience. Some people don't have patience to grow in the Lord. You say, oh, preacher, I've been going to church and it's just all not falling together and getting better. No, you got to have patience. Well, it's just wearing me out. Or she's wearing me out. Or he's wearing me out. That's what the devil wants to do. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. A lot of God's people lose comfort. They lose hope because they don't have any patience until the help comes. And the devil just keeps wearing them out. The Bible says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so that we ourselves, in 2 Thessalonians 1, glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Thank God we're not going through the tribulation period. We're not going to be the Antichrist, but you're going to go through some tribulations. You know what you need? You need some patience, because if you don't have it, the devil's going to wear you out. Help's on the way, but you've got to have patience for it. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You know the great thing of Daniel chapter 7, though this Antichrist is doing his best, he makes war with the saints, he prevails against them, he wears out the saints of the Most High. But you know the good news? The Ancient of Days is coming. The good news is that the Son of Man is coming with clouds. The good news that he's going to lose. But the saints have to have patience till the victory comes. You know, sometimes you have a loss in your life. It takes time for that to heal. Don't run away from God. Have patience and let God heal your heart. Oh, I'm talking to somebody that needs this tonight. The devil's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High, not just then, but now. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:36, "But for ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." You know, to do the will of God takes patience. So I'm just tired of, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, of the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." It's not always going to be like that. "Oh, I'm wore out. It's just wearing me out emotionally. And this trial, this tribulation, this thing that's come in my life, it's wearing me out emotionally. It's wearing me out physically. It's wearing me out mentally. What do I do?" You just have patience on the Lord, and you wait on the Lord, and you be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You can hold your finger here in Daniel 7, would you, but go to Revelation, because the context of these tribulation saints is in Revelation 14. And look what God says about them. Revelation 14. In Revelation 14, we're talking about the Antichrist, and you talk about a preacher. God's going to send an angel flying around heaven preaching. Boy, God's not limited how he gets the word out. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, look at it. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast," what we're talking about in Daniel 7, this fourth beast, this fourth kingdom of whom, through whom the Antichrist is going to rise up this horn and wear out the saints and make war with the saints and do the bidding of the devil. The Bible says this angel preaches, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Look at verse 12. Here is the patience of the what? Of the saints. "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, I know that's written to tribulation saints, but look here. You know, you say, how could you take the mark of the beast if an angel flies around heaven and tells you not to take it, and if you take it, you're going to go to hell? Who would take the mark of the beast? People that want to eat. You can't even buy or sell. You can't buy a loaf of bread. You can't get a tank of gas without that mark of the beast or the number of his name. Now listen here. Listen, church. We've got it easy. To live for God, we've got it easy. And some people are still falling out. We've got it easy. I mean, we don't live in China. We don't. How many people we have church if we had to move our location every week? Our Christianity is, I don't know another word, so I just gave a noise. If you had to move every week to escape persecution, would you go to church? I mean, every week. You can't get people to go to church now. Look, we have church shutting the doors on Sunday night because nobody comes, so they just cancel church. You know why? Nobody's coming. And here in the tribulation, the Bible says, the tribulation period, here's a mother. Look at this mother. She goes to the cupboard. There's nothing to eat. She has these little children at home. And the children said, "Mom, I'm hungry, I'm starving. Can we have something to eat?" And she knows that God has said, "Don't take that mark." And the little baby and the little child said, "But Mom, I'm hungry, I've got to have something to eat." And she's gone around trying to rummage everything she could find, and she can't find enough to feed them. And she's sitting there. You know what that woman's gonna need? She's gonna need a whole lot of patience. To trust God and have the faith of Jesus Christ and not disobey the commandments of God and not join up with that Antichrist. What patience she's going to have to overcome those difficulties. And church, I know we have difficulties. And we see them in our families and we see them all around us in our lives. But we don't have any difficulties like that. All we need is a little bit of patience. Patience with God. to continue to be faithful to God, to do the will of God, even sometimes when it's not easy to do. You've heard of the patience of Job. You've heard the prophets that have had patience. Why can't we have a little patience? Everybody wants God to work everything out there in their lives immediately. And God just doesn't do that, does he? God doesn't give us all the answers immediately. Sometimes we just have to have patience. But in the meantime, the devil is just trying to wear you out. Well, here's the patience of the saints. Not only that, would you go back to Daniel 7, verse 25? The Antichrist makes war with the saints. He wears out the saints. And then the Bible says in verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." It's Revelation 13, 5 and 6 there. "And shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Now this is the third thing he does. "And think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." Time, we've already talked about that. That's that 3.5 year period. We won't rehash that. But the Bible says he thinks to change times and laws. Hold your finger there and turn over to Daniel chapter 2. So the third thing the Antichrist does is try to change times and laws. Why is that such a terrible thing to do? Because of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 20, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Look at it. "And he changeth the times and the seasons." The only person that has the power, the only person that should be able to change times and seasons and laws are God, because he's the one that put them there. But when the Antichrist gets up, you know what he wants to do? He wants to change the laws. What laws? The laws of God. He wants to change the Bible versions. One of our young people gave me the name of a Bible version that some friends had talked about. And that Bible version, the new, you know, they have to come out with another one every 2 or 3 years because they need more sales, you know, so they got to. But it's the same thing as the NIV. It's the same thing as all the other corrupt versions. Has the same words missing. It's all the same junk. It's just changing the Bible to make it say what I want to say. That's an antichrist system, you see. Yeah. But he'll not only do that, he'll change times and seasons and laws. The antichrist, later on in Daniel, he'll change the sacrifice. You know, the Jewish people, they have a calendar when they do things. They have feasts and sacrifices. And when the antichrist, by the way, I'm glad we're going to be gone. I don't know how God's going to work it all out. But when the antichrist get there, there's going to already be a temple there. That's Revelation 11. They're going to start doing sacrifices there. There's no temple there right now. In the tribulation period, there'll be a temple there. There'll be sacrifices there. And they'll be keeping the feast again. And the Bible says, you know what the Antichrist will do? He'll change all that. He'll say, well, I know the Bible says you're supposed to keep it in this month. You read that Old Testament? In that Old Testament, those Jews had to keep to the day. You got to have Passover here. These are the days of unleavened bread. To the day he told them what to do. You know what the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to change all that. He's going to change laws. He's going to change God's moral laws. I have no idea where humanity is going to end up before Jesus comes. The moral laws of God, of a man and a woman getting married. You can already see that antichrist system changing. Who would have ever thought that? I never thought that a kid. Who would be so dumb to think a man could marry anybody but a woman and a woman could marry anybody? You know what I think? I think before it's over with, people are going to marry animals. That's just the next step. And our country needs to go back and apologize to all the Mormons saying they couldn't have other wives. Polygamy's got to be okay. I mean, if you love each other. Incest will have to be legalized. If they're of age, why? I mean, you know, everybody just change all the laws. That's what the Antichrist is trying to do. Well, what he will do. But the spirit of Antichrist is already working in our world to change everything that was normal. And we're seeing that in our day. The devil's just changing everything. Well, what do I do, preacher? If he's going to make war with me, I got to fight. If he's going to wear me out, I got to have patience. What if he changes everything around me? What do? You hold fast. You know how many times that phrase is found in the Bible? 7 times it tells God's people, God's saints, to hold fast. He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which ye have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Behold that which ye have already, Revelation 2:25, hold fast till I come. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. I'm telling you, the devil tries to change everything and everybody. But by the grace of God, if Jesus doesn't come in 20 years, amen, if you're still breathing God's air, you ought to be the same person that loves the same Bible, that lives the same life that Jesus. Don't let the devil change you. Hold fast. And if your knuckles turn white, and if everybody leaves you, and if it costs you everything, just hold on. You know why? You ought to be able to hold on because you know why? Help's coming. You can hold on. Why? Because he's going to lose. Amen. The devil's going to, I bet the devil doesn't like Daniel chapter 7. Because the Bible says in verse 26, look at it. But the judgment shall sit, though he's changing everything. God's judgment's still going to take place. And I love 26, they shall take away his dominion. Thank God, one of these days, the Lord is going to take away the power and the authority and the ability and the position of the devil and the Antichrist of this world to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the what? Of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Why should I be able to hold fast? Why should I be able to hold on? He's changing everything. Because one of these days the Lord's going to change him. Yeah. And he's going to shut him up. And he's going to take his power away from him. He'll never be able to affect the saints anymore. I love reading verse 9. I'm not going to re-preach this because Brother James Knox preached it here already, so y'all just get the tape and just whatever he said, I'll just go along with it. This Ancient of Days and the Son of Man deal here, you know, verse 13, I thought that was good, you know. The throne of God, he talks about Ezekiel and his wheels in verse 9, coming down into the second heaven. Verse 13, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man. That's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. That's a reference right there. Coming with the clouds. That's a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And came to the Ancient of Days. But here, the Son of Man is coming to the Ancient of Days. Looks like God the Son is coming to God the Father. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I go along with Brother Knox's description of this. So God the Father gives him that kingdom, gives him that dominion. And those principalities and powers over all those nations, their dominions are taken away. Look at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. You know the Lord won't rule on the throne until all the other thrones are gone. I beheld till that's why, look, the Lord can't rule your life unless you let him. You've got to get rid of all the other thrones and authorities in your life for God to run your life. And your life's going to be a mess if you don't let Jesus run your life. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. That's seemingly a reference to Jesus, almost like the God the Father and God the Son, you know, they are one. But that white as snow, that's in Matthew 28:3 and Revelation 1:13. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. That's also in Revelation 1:14. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That's his stuff in Ezekiel back there. Verse 10, don't lose me now. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. You know how many that is? You know what 1,000 times 1,000 is? It's 1,000,000. And then he says, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. You know what 10,000 times 10,000 is? That's 100,000,000. You know, we live life here, and it looks like we're so outnumbered. But one of these days, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you'll see it's not as bad as you thought it was. When we saddle up on those white horses and come back, brother, I mean, your wearing out days will be over. Your defeated days will be over. And there'll not be one of us or two of us. There won't even be a congregation of 150 of us or two of us. There will be millions of us coming back to serve God and to give God the praise and give Jesus His place. I'm saying Jesus wins. He wins. Hold fast. Have patience. Get a good lick in for God and fight the devil. You know what you do when you're fighting somebody bigger than you are? Just get one good lick in. There's different ways and different places to hit somebody with one lick. Just get one good lick in. Until the Lord comes back in that fiery stream that comes out of His mouth. You know what's going to happen with that fiery stream? Look at verse 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Oh, speaking a whole lot against the Most High. He says He's God. Antichrist says He's God there in the temple. Speaks big words. Yeah, you're a big shot. But He said, I beheld even till the beast was slain. Amen. God's going to kill the kingdom and the king of the kingdom. He's going to kill the Antichrist. He's going to, how? With the fiery stream that's going to issue out of His mouth. Look at it. And His body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The Bible says about that Antichrist. And then shall that wicked, I read 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. God, the fiery stream going to come out of His mouth and just destroy him. And we'll all look on and we'll all rejoice. And the Bible says that kingdom, it'll be forever and ever. And there'll be no end to it. Amen. We don't have to worry about times getting hard or times getting bad again. He says of the increase of His government and peace shall there be. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment. The angel said the same thing to Mary. Said that he called His name Jesus. He should be great. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But I bet it was pretty hard for Mary to keep that in her heart and go through her life watching them be so wicked to her son. Mary, how can you stand by that cross while they torture your boy? She said, because I've got some news that was already given to me, you see. I got some good news that this isn't the end of the story. What are you going to do, Mary? I'm just going to hold fast. Mary, what an awful thing. Aren't you brokenhearted? I'm brokenhearted, yes. But I'm going to sit here, I'm going to stand here and have some patience and wait on God to make everything right. Mary, looks like the devil's got the best of you and your family. What about it? No, I think I'll go to prayer meeting. I think I'll just join the rest of them and get in that prayer meeting and pray. Have you had a hard life, Mary? You talk about PTSD, man. If it had been us, we'd have been locked away in a home a long time ago, what Mary went through. But you know what I think was in her heart? That angel said, He's going to get the throne forever and ever, and there'll be no end to His kingdom, and she believed it. Oh, how we just need to believe that word of God, that one day the Bible says the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That ought to keep you going. Preacher, I've been doing right. I feel wore out. We win. We win. What a difference it is when you know the end of the game.
Yeah.
Guys, I know the end of the game. the end of this world, the end of everything God made, is going to end up at the feet of Jesus Christ. He will have the dominion. And no matter what the devil's doing in your life, you need to remember that he wins.
Amen.
And you need to have confidence in those promises. And you just need to join your heart to the Lord, no matter how the devil's trying to wear you out. And you need to have patience, and you need to hold fast, and you just need to keep fighting for God. You just need to keep living for God, because the devil's smart. If he can get you to quit fighting, if he can get you to quit holding fast, if he can get you to lose your patience, he'll just stomp on you.